Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business, and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, welcome everyone, welcome. What a beautiful, beautiful day. And, you know, when I was putting together today's show, I thought how lucky I am to talk to the most amazing people. And today is no exception. I have two extraordinary women joining me who will share their perspectives during the next hour. And the theme of today's show is how winning works, optimizing synergy to lead a better life at home and at work. And who doesn't want that? We can't do it all ourselves. Coming up around 12:30, the dynamic Sylvia Henderson, a.k.a. Your Idea Success Coach. Ms. Henderson helps individuals and organizations communicate to build and strengthen relationships, to take your ideas from in your head to impact. And this will be a great segment to end today's show because communication is maybe the biggest part of building synergistic relationships. And first, I'm talking to a woman who's made an art form of creating synergistic relationships and extreme performance. She's a competitive adventure racer, winning at the highest peaks, the highest levels of sport and business. And I do mean the highest levels. She's done exceptionally well in her 15-year career as an adventure racer. Robin Benincasa has competed in more than 35 expedition-length adventure races. Let me tell you a little bit, just a little bit of what she's done. She's biked through jungles in Borneo, climbed Himalayan giants in Nepal. She's trekked across lava fields in Fiji. She's rafted rapids in Chile. In all, she's racked up more than 25 awards along the way, including multiple world championship titles and a Guinness World Kayaking record. And when she's not racing around the world, you probably wouldn't expect Robin to be sitting there twiddling her thumbs, and that's very true. She's a member of the only all-female firefighting crew in the U.S., and that happens to be down in San Diego. I should also point out that on all the adventure races, Robin was the only woman. She was what's called the mandatory gear on each team. Each team comprised is of four people. One of them must be a woman. And she referred to herself several times as the mandatory gear, the mandatory woman on each of those teams. And she set out, this was no accident, her success has been no accident, because she set out to race with the very best people in the world. And she's going to share some of her story with us in just a moment. In addition to everything else Robin does, she's a dynamic corporate speaker. Having spoken with her, I can truly believe that. She's appeared on NBC, ABC, CNN, ESPN, The Today Show. The list just goes on. Discovery Channel. She's been written about in the New York Times, Runner's World, and many, many, many other media outlets. But she's not about just getting her face out there. She's about helping people, and synergy is what it's all about for her. Her new book is called How Winning Works, 8 Essential Leadership Lessons from the Toughest Teams on Earth. And there are some really great lessons in this book told through Robin's adventure racing and experiences, near-death experiences, some of those. She talks a lot about synergy and how to create great teamwork, and that's the key to success, she says, whether you are trying to get things done at work, in your personal life, or at home. Now, I sat down last Wednesday around 5 a.m. to talk with Robin because she has such a big schedule, busy schedule. It was hard to get her in. So I taped our conversation, and that's going to come up right now. Her book, again, is called How Winning Works, 8 Essential Leadership Lessons from the Toughest Teams on Earth, Robin Benincasa. Well, Robin, I first of all want to thank you for being with us. Appreciate your time today. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. This is wonderful.
You know, this is a really good book. I know you focus most of it around synergy, and I want to just talk, first of all, a little bit about what synergy means to you, because You said you gained your perspective on the art of human synergy in the old-fashioned way. It wasn't an enlightened journey, but a muddy, sleep-deprived, leech-infested necessity. So talk to us a little bit about what you mean by synergy.
Human synergy is what makes us better together than any of us could ever be alone. And it's something that my teammates and I discovered in the last place you want to look for anything on Earth. That's in the jungles of Borneo and the peaks of Ecuador, in this crazy sport of adventure racing. And the reason that we had to learn is because in these rules of this sport, which in essence is a sport where you have teams of men and women and you have to stay together from start to finish the entire time within 50 yards of one another, and you're going 6 to 10 days nonstop, mountain biking, kayaking, whitewater rafting, whatever it takes to get from A to B over these 6 days, and just using a map and a compass to guide your way. So in the rules, you have to get across the finish line with everybody on your team or you're disqualified. So what started out as just kind of four people that happened to be walking the same direction and hoping not to lose anybody, we discovered that the people that were winning them, which ended up being us, were people that truly understood how to create incredible teamwork and how to be better together than any of the individuals could ever be alone. So we realized that we were, you know, not only making one another better athletes, we were making one another better people as we went. And we weren't just walking to the finish line. We were, you know, figuratively and literally carrying each other.
Yeah.
In every way. And we discovered that, you know, this wasn't just a formula for winning extreme endurance races. This was a formula for success in every aspect of our lives in which other humans are involved, which is every aspect of our lives.
Absolutely. And there are so many great lessons that come out of the stories. I wonder if you would share a little of the opening story with us, because I think that really highlights what you're talking about, how that synergy just came together to create a win for you all.
Well, we were in it was my first race with the best team in the world. We're in the jungle of Ecuador, and it was a 9-day race for the win. And we were out in the lead with the French pretty early on, and we had to summit a 19,700-foot volcano in the middle of it. And it was extremely, extremely challenging because we hadn't slept for 3 days, and I was really struggling to breathe. I was having altitude-induced asthma and cold-induced asthma, and you know, we were really, really suffering. And my oxygen saturation was only 71% at 15,000 feet, and the doctors didn't think I should go, and so we had this big debate about what to do, and I asked the team if they could, you know, at least put on all of our Glacier travel gear and kind of drag me up to 18,000 feet so we wouldn't get such a big penalty. In the rules, you had to get, in this case, three people to the top of this mountain in order to stay in the race, and penalties if you left people lower. And they got me to 18,000 feet, and I thought I was just going to go back down to the hut at 15,000, and then we realized two of my teammates had high-altitude pulmonary edema, and we were just about to be completely out of the race. And Robert came to me and said, "Are you ready to go?" And I said, "How am I going to get down, Robert?" And he said, "Oh, no one told you yet. You're going up."
Yeah. And you were really afraid for your life at this point.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, definitely afraid, because I was blue and I, you know, I wasn't getting oxygen, but the power of the respect that Robert had for me to kind of leave his ego at the start line and say, "You know what, you're the better person at the moment to get to the top of this thing." And he looked at me and he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, "You can do it, Rob." And the power of him having that level of belief in me and giving me that respect as such a gift, even though I was the newest person on the team, you see me in the video literally go from crying and eating a cookie in the snow, which all of us girls have perfected, you know, crying and eating. I'm crying and eating a cookie in the snow. And after he says to me, "You can do this, Rob," I stand up and I'm literally like just nodding my head, yes, yes. And the power of believing in someone beyond reason is such an amazing thing. I mean, if we believe beyond reason, people want to rise to the occasion. And Robert put me in that position to rise to the occasion. And there was no way I was going to let him down.
Right.
And we ended up getting to the top. And throughout the rest of that race, It was just a magic experience for all of us because we shared our strengths and we also shared our weaknesses. And that's what ended up making the difference between, you know, first and second place was just, you know, thinking as we the entire time versus me.
Right. And we should say this was Robert Nagel. Is that correct at this point? It was Robert Nagel, right? Who was your team leader. And it sounds to me as though that was quite a turning point in your life, maybe, that realization.
Right. I mean, I didn't know whether I could be raced with the best team in the world. And in that moment, Robert and the rest of the team elevated me, you know, not just from being kind of the mandatory gear, because you have to have one woman on each team, or else I truly would have never had the opportunity to take part at this level. And up until that moment, I felt like, well, I just got to keep up. I just got to be the mandatory gear. I just have to not fall apart. And I went from that to feeling like I was a world champion, you know, that I deserved to be there, that I was a leader in my own right. Mm. And that was the gift that my team gave me by allowing me that moment to lead. And that's the gift that we give, you know, one another every day, is to, instead of stepping on our teammates' backs, you know, to put our teammates on our shoulders and you know, not getting out in front and showing them how amazing we are, but, you know, we inspire people and elevate our team when we show people how amazing they are.
Yes, absolutely. Now, you went after this team. You wanted to race with the best team in the world, and you believe these guys, these three guys you were racing with, were the best in the team. What did you have to go through to get picked by them? Because I'm sure there were a lot of women out there trying to be that mandatory woman in that team.
Yes, and I still laugh at myself for this, but, you know, I had raced against them on a few occasions in the first Eco Challenge way back in the day. We had raced sort of side by side. They knew who I was, but I just got a wild hair, and in a bit of desperation, I wrote the team captain and one of the other guys on the team a letter saying, I don't know if you remember me, but I want to race with you. I really believe we can make an incredible team together. And so I just proactively kind of took control of my future, wrote them both a letter because I was probably too scared to call. I actually got a return call from Robert Nagel, and they put me into a tryout at a smaller race and then took me to the biggest race in the world in Ecuador. And it was just an incredible gift to have that opportunity, because up until then I had been relatively successful. But when I raced with the best team in the world, there was a difference in how they reacted and responded to one another. They weren't better athletes than the people I had raced with before, but they were better team builders. And it made me realize that, you know, this isn't about athletics. It's not about your skill necessarily in any difficult endeavor. It's who you are as a leader and a teammate and the team builder that you bring to the table that makes the difference for your team getting to a world-class level. And it's those eight essential elements that I outline in How Winning Works.
Yeah, and I couldn't help but think when I was reading this, because you kind of outline some of those, that particular team's strengths. I couldn't help thinking, you know, if we all recognize the strengths within our families and our weaknesses within our families, we'd have much happier, more productive families too.
Yeah, and I think that's the key that I've discovered to success and to winning is realizing what you are great at as an individual, you know, sitting down and saying, what do people come and ask me about? What is my core strength? You know, at this point in my life, what have I developed that is instrumental, you know, to my career, to my life? What am I great at? And then taking that strength, capitalizing on it, focusing on it, but then outsourcing and bartering your weaknesses to other people to whom, you know, that is their strength. And so together you're operating at your highest level, but you're just interdependent on one another for your outcomes. And if we can create those teams around us, that's how you get to the highest of high peaks, is capitalizing on your strengths, bartering your weaknesses, leaving your egos at the start line, and sharing responsibility for success and failure, always thinking as we, and acting like a team always, because the feelings will follow. And, you know, those are, basically there's a formula for being a great team builder and for getting to the next level and building a world-class team.
And I'm talking, of course, with Robin Benincasa. She is one of the top adventure racers in the world. She's won many championships, including a Guinness World Kayaking Record. And I pre-taped this because of her busy schedule, wanting to bring it to you today. So we're going to just take a quick break and we'll come back and talk more with Robin. She's talking about the success to winning, sharing responsibility for success and failure. And when she comes back, she's going to give us those eight components that she says are key to success. Stay with us. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
OMG! Grammar abuse is no LOL! Hire a copywriter today and make sure your business communications rise above the crowd and deliver the results you need. Call 800-495-7617 today. BTW, IMHO, copywriters rule. Call 800-495-7617. BFN!
Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Making a difference, one word at a time.
Conscious living for conscious people. Alternative Talk 1150.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Conversations Live, but I did pre-tape this interview last week because Robin is one of the only all-female firefighter team. She's on the team that is the only female firefighter team in America, down in San Diego. So that's her full-time job. And then, of course, she races all over the world and talks to various corporations. And so we sat down and taped an interview, and now we're going to look at what she calls the eight essentials of how winning works. And before the break, she talked about, you know, creating synergy. And let's bring on Robin Benincasa.
Yeah, it's an acronym for teamwork, and it's total commitment, which is a matter of your planning, elevating your team's sense of purpose, your perseverance, never letting emotion affect locomotion, and your preparation, realizing that luck is that sum of opportunity meeting preparation. Then the E is empathy and awareness of teammates, you know, connecting to the person before the point, and realizing that we work for people, not necessarily for companies. We start out working for companies, but we end up working for one another, and yeah, always having that realization in the back of your mind of being a person first. Adversity management skills is the A, being ruled by the hope of success versus the fear of failure. You know, how are you operating every day? Are you doing what it takes to succeed, thinking out of the box, challenging yourself, challenging your team? Or are you doing what it takes to simply not fail and never letting the pursuit of perfection hinder progress? Mm-hmm. And embracing your setbacks as a chance to learn something and to excel in a new way. Mutual respect, always maintaining that loyalty to one another, always building that platform of trust and respect, acting like a great teammate is more important than feeling like one. You know, always having the actions of a great teammate and a great leader when the feelings aren't there. You know, cutting down on gossip, bringing up positive, I call them aluminum cans, because when we say something negative to a friend or a partner or a husband or wife, that stays in the environment forever, like an aluminum can.
Yeah, that's a great way of looking at it.
It does. So, you know, that's how you continue to build that mutual respect with your team, believing beyond reason, giving respect as a gift instead of a grade. We thinking versus me thinking, that sort of thinking that says, why can't I take everyone to the top of the podium with me? Winning at the highest levels is not something mutually exclusive. At the highest levels, winning actually takes a village. You know, again, at the highest levels, we can all get to a certain point alone, but then we hit kind of a glass ceiling. To break through that, you need to build a team and think as we. Ownership of the project, finding out how to inspire people versus just motivate them. You know, motivation is short term. Inspiration is something longer term. You know, discovering what the people on your team would do if money wasn't involved. What are they inspired by? Is it recognition? You know, it's not always money for people. And finding out what their inspiration is and allowing them to lead also builds their ownership. Relinquishment of ego is the R. Leaving your ego at the start line, not your confidence, but your ego.
Big difference.
Wrapping your ego around your team's success and not your own individual glory. And a lot of that has to do also with accepting help and asking for help, which is tough for a lot of us to do. But what I suggest to people is think of accepting help as a gift to the other person, because it makes you feel so great when someone accepts your help. And why would you not give that to someone else? So always find a reason to say yes when people ask if they can help you. And then kinetic leadership is the K, meaning leadership that constantly changes on the team. There's a difference between management and leadership. You know, as a manager, you are a facilitator of your team's success. But leaders should change. It really strengthens a team to allow everybody on the team to lead based on their strengths, and not for the manager to always feel like they have to have all the answers and be the leader.
Right, right. Great advice there. And I love this that you said, heroism elevates someone, humility elevates everyone, because that's very key in teamwork, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, putting your teammates on your shoulders, you know, gets you so much further than stepping on their backs. I mean, you achieve a greater height by putting your teammates on your shoulders instead of stepping on their backs. And that's what the best teams on earth do in business, the best relationships. They have this give and take that, you know, where they're sharing, you know, everything. They're sharing their strengths and they're sharing their weaknesses. And it's that humility and grace that allows everyone on the team to rise to the occasion and be inspired to elevate one another. When you start grabbing for credit, people tend to kind of push away from you. But when you give credit to everybody around you, it inspires them to be even more on board.
Yeah, you can't fail to lift people. You've been doing this 15 years, Robin. You've raced in more than 35 adventure races. You're a firefighter in my old hometown, San Diego. Where do you find time to do all this?
It's mayhem. I mean, actually, at the moment, I'm sitting in my car on the apparatus floor next to the fire engine. So I'm just about to get off shift here. But, you know, it's if you're fired up about something, and, you know, which I am, to share this with the world, you know, kind of what I've learned, and to help people really embrace teamwork as a strategy to get to that next level, you know, you make it work. I mean, I'm at the fire station full time. I speak at a number of corporations, you know, during the month. And then I also have a nonprofit called Project Athena, where we help survivors, generally cancer survivors, but we've expanded it. We help survivors live an adventurous dream as part of their recovery. And next week, we're taking a group of 30 fundraisers and 3 survivors on a Grand Canyon rim-to-rim-to-rim trek.
That's fantastic. You began that organization, if I recall right, after an injury that you sustained.
Yes. I had no more cartilage in my hips from a femoral acetabular impingement. And So I've had four hip replacements over the last 4 years.
Wow.
And that's what led me to Project Athena, was saying, okay, you know, Miss Team Builder, Miss Adversity Manager, now what do you do with this? So I got together, I built a world-class team that helps survivors live an adventurous dream. And we lead these trips, and we also send survivors on, like maybe to run their first 5K or to participate in their first triathlon, or, you know, all kinds of adventurous dreams to help them get their confidence and their groove back after having a setback. Because
yeah.
I got mine back through different adventures and different endeavors, like ultra endurance kayaking, which is what I'm doing now. So I wanted to bring that to other people, that confidence in themselves.
Well, that's,
again,
yeah,
that juju.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I know I have to let you go in a moment. You're a busy, busy lady, but I want to just end with your key takeaway in the book. You say, if you take nothing else away, I want you to make a conscious desire to see a world of teammates versus a world of competitors. Talk to us a little about that.
Yeah, it's funny. I do a drill in my corporate events where I have people do a game called reverse arm wrestling, and it has nothing to do with the game. But I say your goal and your teammate's goal is to get in the official arm wrestling position, and instead of pushing the other person's arm down, I want you to get your own arm down to the table as many times as you can in 30 seconds. And it's a fun game, but I always say your goal and your teammate's goal because it really illustrates how wired we are to compete. I'll say go, and at least 75% of the room is struggling desperately to not let that other person get their own arm down to the table. And it's actually quite entertaining because at the end of it, I ask how many people got their arm down 5 times or less, and usually it's most of the room. And then I'll ask how many people got their arm down, you know, 20 times or more. And there were always a couple people that hear me say teammate and think on that higher level and just let each other go back and forth as fast as they can.
Yeah.
And it just shows us how wired we are as human beings to compete right off the bat, you know, to see winning as being something mutually exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me to win, someone else has to lose.
Right.
What you get from how winning works is that perspective that says, for me to win, I actually need to help other people win around me, and I need to take everyone to the top of that podium with me. And why don't I see a world full of teammates? Because that's how to get yourself to the next level also. It's not just this higher thinking, you know, let's all hold hands and skip across the finish line thing. This is actually for your personal goals as well.
Absolutely.
Every day, is your world full of teammates or is your world full of competitors? If it's a world full of teammates, you're going to get a lot further than if you're always seeing a world full of competitors.
Yes, and I know which world I'd rather live in. This is a fantastic book, How Winning Works. It's been a delight to talk to you today, Robin. Thank you for being with us, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, Vicky, and come home to San Diego soon.
I will.
And that was my guest, Robin Benincasa. Her book, How Winning Works, 8 Essential Leadership Lessons from the Toughest Teams on Earth. And I tell you, that's one tough lady. Lovely looking. She's got a body to die for, as you can imagine, climbing up and down those mountains. But she really has written a fabulous book. Just fun and entertaining, but also loads of lessons in there, which you can apply to everyday life. I really enjoyed talking with her, and I'm going to share one more story from that book when we come back from break and have our next guest online, because it happens to be one of my favorite stories, and I saw it myself, 15 years ago, and it happens to be in Robin's book too. So you're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, and we'll be back in just a moment with Sylvia Henderson, who's going to help us communicate to optimize our synergy.
Everyone. Hit me with your rhythm stick. Hit me, hit me. Je t'adore, ich liebe dich. Hit me, hit me, hit me.
At Sundown Communications, we find that most of our clients are brilliant at what they do, but they lack the time and resources to write and create business messaging that delivers results. That's where we come in, providing a diverse range of professional copywriting services for fresh strategic web content, PR, advertising and promotion, marketing, speeches, and much more. Call us today so you can focus on what you do best, and we'll do the rest. Call 800-495-7000. 7617. That's 800-495-7617.
If you love dogs, tune in to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. We'll talk about everything dog and interview authors, experts, and amazing organizations, both locally and nationally. And don't even get me started on the pet food industry. I'm Julie Forbes. Find us online at www.dogradioshow.com and also as a free podcast on iTunes. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
Do naysayers make you doubt yourself? Do you always look for someone else's approval or opinion? Why can this be dangerous? And why do you trust other people's opinions more than your own? Tune in next week to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair for answers to these questions and more. See conversationslive.net for dozens of podcasts to help you live well, live strong.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
The new mainstream of talk radio. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hit me! Hit me!
And welcome, everyone. Welcome back. But don't hit me. Please don't hit me. I don't know where Eric finds these from. I haven't heard that for years, Eric.
Hit me with your rhythm stick.
Yeah.
The Enduring the Blockheads.
Yeah, I haven't heard it from for years and years and years. Anyway, we are talking today about how winning works without hitting each other. We're optimizing synergy to lead a better life at home and at work. Now, communication is a huge factor in developing synergistic relationships, and Sylvia Henderson is my next guest. She's also known as your idea success coach. She helps individuals and organizations communicate to build and strengthen relationships and lift your ideas from in your head to impact. Sylvia's coaching programs, events, and online resources help you clarify, strategize, and implement your ideas through winning synergistic relationships. And that's what we're going to be talking about right now. Sylvia Henderson has a BS degree in education, a master's in business administration, and more than 30 years of corporate, nonprofit, and entrepreneurial professional and leadership experience. She's the author of multiple books, including Hey, That's My Idea, How to Speak Up and Get Recognized for What You Know and Think. And this is interesting. I'm going to ask her what she does in her parallel universe. Sylvia Henderson, first of all, welcome to the show.
Hello. Hi, Vicki.
Pleased to have you here. And I'm going to ask you, in your own words, what is it you do in your parallel universe that invites two wheels?
I ride motorcycles and roller coasters for relaxation.
Well, I guess it's one way of screaming out the stress on roller coasters.
You have that right, yes.
Now, you're joining us. My brother would love to talk to you because he's going through a midlife crisis right now, and he just bought himself a brand new motorbike. He's not had one since he was 20-something, but he loves his baby. But you're joining us today from the other Washington, Washington, D.C., and I understand it's really hot out there today.
Yes, it is. It's about in the 90s.
Wow. Well, I want to begin this segment. You are a communications expert. You're an expert at many, many things. But I want to just share a little story with our listeners, Sylvia. And at the end of it, I'm going to ask you what synergy means to you, because we heard from our first guest how she defines synergy. My first guest was Robin Benincasa, adventure racer. And at the end of her book, she shares a story that's one of her favorites. And I actually saw this on television about, 15 some years ago. During an eco challenge race, when there was a team of Japanese people, three men and one mandatory woman, racing on this eco challenge, and they had to run up a mountain and down the other side. It was a tropical mountain. It was about 5,250 feet. And before they could begin that part of the journey, they were checked in at the checkpoint before, and the female in that team had hurt her foot so badly it did not bend. And the doctor said, you can't go on. You need to stay here. Well, rather than abandoning the race, rather than abandoning the mandatory gear, the woman, the teammates all got together and they discussed that they would carry her. up this 5,250 tropical mountain and down the other side so that they could continue on the next leg, which was kayaking, which obviously she'd be able to participate in. It was the best example of teamwork I have ever seen. And I remember taping it to take it in to show my team at work, and they were all blown away by it too. They were so tired, this team, from carrying her up this hill and from the race in general, that one of them actually ran 2 miles ahead when he wasn't carrying her, obviously. He ran 2 miles ahead just so he could lay down and get 15 minutes sleep. So I thought, I've carried that story with me forever, because I really truly see it as a great example of human synergy. And so with that, I'm going to ask you, Sylvia, if you would just define for us what synergy means to you in relationships and in your own words.
Okay. Synergy to me is actually what I experience a lot when I ride a motorcycle. But to get away from that a little bit, synergy to me is just when all the parts, when individual pieces fit together, work together, come together, and make the whole stronger than each individual can be. So some people call it teamwork, but it's more than teamwork. It's when that team really, really gels. And I'm a Star Trek fan, and I'll say when they look at it and say the good of the many overrides the good of the few.
Yes, yes. And I do see what you mean about synergy on the motorcycle, because you've got to have that balance. It's the same with sailing and horse riding. You have to compete with the wind and an animal. So it's all of that coming together. I want to just ask you how you got into doing the kind of work that you're doing. You've had a very solid career here. Just talk to us a little bit about how you chose the line of work that you're doing and why you're so passionate about it. Because I've watched some of your videos, and I can see that passion coming through.
Well, how I came to where I am is really a synergistic journey also, because I've learned as I've gone through some of the personal internal work that we go through when we get older, that everything I've done has led to running my own business, doing my own speaking and writing about communicating, coming from the corporate world, where I was involved in training and speaking and writing for years, coming from my Girl Scout work way back when I was a kid, child, and including up to now, everything I do is related to training and helping people get that aha in their, that light in their eyes, and now focusing on ideas and helping people implement their ideas, not doing it for them, but helping them get there with processes and systems. That's still training and speaking and writing and helping them get that aha. It all sort of comes together, and it just feels really good when it's, well, synergy.
And is that what drives you, seeing that aha moment coming through? Because I've experienced that when I've worked with people, and I find it very gratifying when they get that aha, because often I get a similar one too.
Yeah, I find that really gratifying. That separates the teacher, which is more lecturer, from the facilitator and coach, who is the person that guides and leads to the aha.
Right.
And that's what I'm doing.
Right. Now, we've talked about communication. Certainly, somebody, for example, on an adventure racing team can't win without excellent communication. There's so many ways we communicate, effectively and ineffectively. But it's a huge factor in creating those synergistic relationships, and a place where so many of us do fail. What do you see when you work with so many different kinds of people? What do you see primarily as the main place where people fall down in communication, Sylvia?
I see the main place being how we interpret each other's subtle signals, actually, in a world. You're right. Work with a lot of people from the Generation Y, who was born with a mobile device in their hand, all the way up to a baby boomer, and not to get into that. Oh, the younger ones are awful, the older ones are great, kind of thing, because every generation and every one of us has our strengths and areas where we could improve. The thing I see the in so much technology, regardless of what generation is using it, is that we've gotten farther and farther away from really reading, being able to interpret those subtle communication signals. And that comes from seeing people.
Mm.
Yes, we can do video conferencing, but we still can't see the nuances of communication that we can in person. And even then, those who haven't learned what those nuances mean in the visual, in the nonverbal, in the verbal, and the body language forms of communication, that is what I just love teaching and working with people to learn and see. And that's what's missing the most, in my opinion.
Yeah, and we call it FaceTime.
Yep.
up in the tech world. But it's critical, I think, because, I know I work with people all over the world, but there's something about having that FaceTime and meeting people for the first time that creates a different kind of relationship or takes it to maybe a deeper level.
Right. And you can friend all you want online, and we can have conversations on the phone, but that synergy that you explained in that story, that came from that team being together, working together, and struggling together. The synergy I feel when I ride in a group ride in a motorcycle, it comes from really knowing and working with the other people so that you're willing to go all out and help them when something happens.
Yes, one of the things that Robin wrote in her book, and I'm not sure if we discussed this, but it's that the teams she worked with were not always the fastest or the most powerful, but the communication, the synergy between them was intense, and that's what got them through those tough times. So I wanted to look at some barriers, if we can, to everyday communication. And I think one of the barriers that I see and experience as a consultant and as a human being, one of the biggest negative barriers I see is criticizing, when somebody's criticizing. I wonder if we could talk a little bit about, you know, when somebody says, oh, well, that's your fault, you brought that on yourself, and they're kind of dismissing what you're saying to them, or they find a reason why you brought it upon yourself. If we could just talk a little bit about how to overcome that, if you would.
Criticizing. Let's see, in the corporate world, we call it giving feedback. and at family dinners at holidays, it's called, well, for your own good. but the difference between criticizing and really offering, feedback that's helpful is, there's a few things. Number one, the person's willingness and readiness to receive that kind of input.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the heart with which that input is given, whether you're giving feedback because of jealousy or because of love, that comes across differently. The barriers come from the emotion that someone might feel when somebody comes up to them and says, I have something I need to tell you. Well, you know, right away that puts you in a defensive mode. And when you're in a defensive mode, you can't receive what somebody else is giving, not only just in criticism, but in many things.
Mm.
That could be in love and other emotions. Language is a barrier. And I mean, this is language spoken between two American English-speaking people. We have language barriers, let alone mix other cultures in there. My goodness, there's so many barriers that
you
probably don't have time to talk about.
Right. Look, we need to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to ask you about stress, how to communicate in stressful times. You've got a great blog on this, and it kind of continues on what we're discussing here. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, and my guest in this segment is Sylvia Henderson. She is the author of many books, including Hey, That's My Idea, and we're going to be right back with you.
Do you love wildlife? Then make a real difference by helping PAWS care for sick and injured wild animals. Volunteers help feed and clean the animals until they are well enough to return to the wild. Sign up today and help save a wild life. No experience necessary. All training is provided. Visit paws.org or call 425-787-2500.
OMG! Grammar abuse is no LOL! Hire a copywriter today and make sure your business communications rise above the crowd and deliver the results you need. Call 800-495-7617 today. BTW, IMHO, copywriters rule. Call 800-495-7617. BFN.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick and Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
If you want to reach a large audience of like-minded people, people with integrity, people who strive to live well and live strong, let Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair shine a spotlight on your message. Tell us about your business, product, service, or event, and we'll help you craft your message and promote your good work. Email Vicki at conversationslive.net or call 425-269-4772. That's 425-269-4772.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to brighten your day.
Radio for your body, mind, and spirit. Alternative Talk, 1150.
It's not hard to go the distance when you finally get involved face to face.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. My guest in this segment is Sylvia Henderson, also known as Your Idea Success Coach. You can find out more about Sylvia and her work at ideasuccessnetwork.com, ideasuccessnetwork.com, and we'll give that out again before the end of the show. So we're talking about, we looked at a couple of the barriers to communication, and I think criticism is probably the biggest one at the end of the day. But also when we're under stress, Sylvia, isn't it true that we often, when we need to communicate, when communication is most important, that's when we most often fail?
Yes, that's because we launch into that fight or flight mechanism that we all have as human beings. And that means we revert to the communication style that we are most comfortable with and most naturally fall into. So if we have not practiced patient, positive communication all along, then just when we need it the most, again, just like a highly trained athlete or a firefighter or emergency responder, you will jump into poor behavior instead of behavior you've practiced and that you've learned.
Right. And so you listed some of the things that drive people into stressful communication, and that's, you know, when somebody's rushing a deadline, they've got commitments, they're overcommitted, maybe obligations, time constraints, even terrorism, business and personal goals. And I would add to that weddings and funerals. I think they bring out the best and the worst in people. So let's look at, you've got this article on your website, which I pulled off, and you had some great suggestions here for how to communicate in stressful situations. And the first one was, gain control of your voice. And, you know, this was something I learned as a very young manager, because I was like 20, even 30 years younger than most of the managers I worked with when I went into the financial world. And I found that people didn't take me seriously, even though I had lots of good ideas and I executed. And I found lowering my voice when I talked with them helped me a lot. And you say here, gain control of your voice. Why is that important?
Because even over the phone, as I'm talking to your listeners now, if I had a high, squeaky voice and talked real fast, they would hear someone who they would interpret as not being serious or not being powerful. And I don't necessarily mean power in terms of position, but your confidence comes through, or even fake confidence comes through.
Right, right.
When you've got control. And that's what people need in times of stress. They need comfort. They need to know that someone else has got it covered. And that comes through in your voice.
Yes. And body language too, because we all know communication is a huge part of body language. You say keep your body in check.
Yes, we have nervous habits, again, that we don't know we do. We don't know we have. And people who know us, including our coworkers, especially if we're managers or leaders in an organization, people who know us know our little idiosyncrasies. They know that when we scratch our nose right after we say something, that, oh my goodness, we're nervous. You watch an airline, you know, you watch an airline stewardess, whatever the right word is, say, be calm, stay calm, but then you watch their body language when something's happening on the plane and you think,
They're not telling us everything.
Yeah.
You say planning ahead is really important. If you know that you're going to communicate in stressful times, if you're not usually a contingency planner, you say plan on becoming one or become one. Don't plan on it. Do it.
Yeah. Yep. Have a plan B or a plan C. I know we say that a lot in the business world. You know, the biggest thing to having a plan B or C or a contingency is the relationship. I don't know if you're going to mention that or not. But having relationships with people who you're going to need to lean on, but establishing those relationships before you need them. You know, I say schedule time on the calendar to just get out with friends and with acquaintances even.
Right.
You know, meet somebody you don't know at work for lunch because you just might need to call on them for support some other time. So you want to build this kind of contingency, and my contingencies are typically relationship, because with a good relationship, all else can be taken care of.
Yes, and you just echoed on what Robin said before. You know, do you want to live in a world of competitors or team members? And you're talking about building your team members there before we need them.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm just as competitive as anybody, but I believe totally in building those relationships.
Right. Right. You do talk about that on this article. Have backup before you need it. So key thing there. What if you, let's look at some communication styles that I've seen as being very difficult to deal with over the years. What if you have a team member or a family member who uses what I call the barking toad approach? They just snap at you and bark at you and cut you down before you can even get three words out. And of course, usually their goal is to shut you up and not continue the conversation. But what if it's an important conversation and you need to, you know, build a better relationship with that person? What tips do you have for our listeners?
First of all, I had to write down that term, barking toad. I hadn't heard that one. Getting control of yourself is the biggest way to deal with just about any communication style. And that means being aware of what sets you off, being aware that everyone, that we all communicate differently. And when you get into studying it, they talk about we have four different styles or seven different styles. Well, not to get all academic, just know that we each communicate differently. None is right, none is wrong, because there might be a situation where that snapping and quick comeback is important, and somebody who's calm and quiet is not as effective. So, you know, it's not right or wrong. It's knowing how you will respond to somebody who snips at you.
Sure.
Taking that count to three breath and coming back to not feed into the way that they've communicated with you. That's the biggest challenge. Especially
right.
When emotions are involved.
But as you said, as you've said in many of your articles, it's practice, practice, practice. And you know what?
Yes.
We're right at the end of our segment right uh-huh. now. Just flew by today. But I think you've given us some important pointers there. And I know that listeners can find out a lot more information at your site, Sylvia Henderson. Thank you for being with us. I'm going to give you your site out in just a moment. It is ideasuccessnetwork.com, ideasuccessnetwork.com. Thanks for being with us, Sylvia.
Thanks for having me.
And you can find out more, as I said, about Sylvia Henderson and the great work she's doing at ideasuccessnetwork.com. You can find out more about my first guest at robinbenincasa.com. com, or just Google How Winning Works and she'll pop up there too. You can find out more about our show at conversationslive.net. And if you've got feedback on today's show or any of the guests, then please do email me at info@conversationslive.net, or you can call 800-495-7617, 800-495-7617. Hey, thanks for being with us today. Appreciate you spending this hour with you. See you next week. Live well, live strong.
Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.